Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 20, recorded November 16th, 2009.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show.
We have a comment today. It's from David, and it reads, I love your show and really appreciate the hard work. Thanks for taking the time to do it.
So, thank you, David. You included your URL for your website, which I have visited. I've listened to your podcast as well, and I invite our listeners to do the same at www.theplantedaquariumpodcast.com.
So you can go check that out. Speaking of other podcasts, our Russ was a guest on a podcast called What Were You Thinking? It's about taking care of exotic pets. And you can, if you want to go listen to him, you can listen to it at petliferadio.com. And it has a picture of him up there, and it has a little blurb about the blog. It's talking about our African clawed frog, Hiro.
Episode 43.
It was very cool.
All right, well, we'd like to start out with a little update on olive nerites. We did a show a while back on olive nerites as an excellent snail to keep to help control algae in planted tanks of various salinities. You can keep them in brackish water, you can keep them in fresh water, and so on. Well, in the show, I had mentioned that I hadn't seen them eat anything but algae. But, lo and behold, I have an update for that. Now I have seen that they will eat peas. If you shell a pea and drop it in there, I've seen them eat those, and also bits of cucumber that were intended for some of the other creatures in the aquarium, but I have seen them chewing on them and eating them. So they will eat other vegetable food, but apparently since they leave live plants alone, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, especially if you run out of algae in your aquarium.
There you go.
And now I think we'll get down to the topic of today's show, which is somewhat connected.
We're going to talk about assassin snails.
Yes, I believe we mentioned in a recent podcast on dwarf puffers that we had obtained some assassin snails. We'd be doing a show on them, and so here we are. We're going to do that today. Assassin snails, pretty interesting creatures. So let's get started.
Okay, so what are assassin snails, and you know, why would we want to keep them?
Well, they're called assassin snails because they kill and eat snails of other species. And that can be a good thing or a bad thing. But let's say that you have way too many ram's horn snails in your aquarium, or way too many pond snails in your aquarium, or way too many Malaysian trumpet snails in your aquarium. All snails in aquaria seem to have some advantages, but there are disadvantages. And depending on the particular setup, you may not want snails in your aquarium, or not want too many of them. So if you, for example, have a fry tank where you're going to be, if you have an egg layer tank and you have some eggs, you don't want snails in there because snails tend to eat fish eggs rather voraciously. Or you may have had a population explosion because of some overfeeding or not enough water changes or something like that, and just have way too many snails in the aquarium. Or certain snails can be caught inside the impeller in a filter and do the impeller a lot of damage. So there are various reasons why you might not want them. And these will help you control them.
Okay, great. What kind of setup do they need?
Well, they are, of course, tropical snails. I believe they come from Southeast Asia. And as such, they need fairly warm water. But they seem to be comfortable in a lot of aquarium setups. I've had them in a couple of different aquariums, and they like to burrow in the substrate, so it would seem that substrate is probably a good idea to have some sand or some fine gravel, or even just normal gravel. They seem to be able to burrow fairly well in that as well, so they need that. And they need, of course, something in an aquarium with not any voracious snail eaters, I would imagine. That could be a problem. I haven't put them in with any clown loaches or dwarf puffers, but I imagine that could be an issue. But other than that, I think they're fairly adaptable to a lot of different setups.
Okay, I mean, obviously they eat other snails. Are they particularly aggressive? Will they go after other assassin snails or small fish? Or are they pretty docile as long as they've already eaten the rest of the snail population?
Well, it depends on who you talk to, but I did a little research on this, and opinion varies. Some people seem to think that the only live creatures they will eat is other snails, and that they don't cannibalize their own species, although they will eat dead individuals of their own species, but not kill them. That's what some people say. Other people say that they will eat not only other snails, but they will eat hydra, they'll eat shrimp, such as red cherry shrimp and other ornamental shrimp, and they can even damage fish. I haven't seen them damage any fish. I can't vouch for the either way, whether or not they will eat shrimp. Although I have kept them with shrimp to a limited degree, I haven't seen any aggression, but that doesn't mean it hasn't happened. But some people seem to think that they have the ability to release some sort of toxin that can damage other organisms. So you do want to be careful, but they don't seem to hurt larger fish, from what I can tell. I've kept them with several species.
Okay. What are some good sources for finding assassin snails? Is this something that's common in pet stores?
It's not all that common. I think the easiest way to find them these days is probably online. They've only been in the hobby for a few years now. But I found some at a local fish store. They had just gotten their first order in, and so I picked them up. I know that they can vary widely in price, and I've seen them for a lot of money on auctions, internet auctions and so on, and I've seen them for more recently as they're becoming more common in the hobby. I picked up mine for about $2.99 each. Got about 5 of them.
Okay.
Local specialty fish store.
So how much is too much then if you're buying them online?
Well, it's a matter of how much you're willing to pay. I think
probably
somewhere around $2 or $3. It seems to be reasonable right now.
Okay. What kinds of things? Well, I guess if they're done eating all the snails in the tank that you want them to eat, what do they eat after that?
Well, they do like meaty foods, so anything high in protein. They'll take, for example, frozen bloodworms, frozen brine shrimp, you know, anything like that, any meaty sort of food. They're also able to eat other things. They'll eat algae, they'll eat leftover fish food and so on. They don't seem to breed much if they don't get a lot of high protein food, but they'll survive on, you know, less meaty fare for quite a while. They just don't seem to breed as much.
So can you tell us anything else about their breeding habits? I mean, they need high protein. Are there any other requirements for their situation?
Well, they probably wouldn't do all that well in really soft water, because most snails don't. I don't have really soft water, so I can't speak personally to that.
Is that because there's not enough calcium in the water to make their shells?
Right. Most snails need some degree of calcium in the water. Some do better at lower mineral content than others. Malaysian trumpet snails, for example, can do better on a lower proportions of minerals in their water than some other snails can, but I would just assume that they probably need some hardness in the water for the mineral content. Apparently they are not hermaphroditic, so you need a male and a female to be able to breed them, as far as I know. That's what I've heard and read, so you probably want to get several individuals. I, as I said, got 5, and that has been fruitful. They don't breed anywhere nearly as quickly as a lot of other snails do, which is good. It makes sense, being predators. They can't outstrip their prey populations. If they were to breed too fast, they would do that. So it makes sense that they breed a little more slowly. And so they don't breed anywhere nearly as quickly, but they do breed fairly quickly. I think it was about a week after I got mine that I noticed the first egg, and they don't lay egg masses as a lot of other snails do. You know, a ramshorn snail might lay an egg mass with 15 eggs in it, and these snails, on the other hand, lay one egg at a time. But I've noticed at least, oh, I'm not sure, maybe 3 or 4 eggs in the aquarium, and in the aquariums that I've had them in, I'm sure there are more than that, but I've noticed...
How big are the eggs?
They're very small, about the size of a head of a pin,
okay,
give or take a little bit.
And did they put them on the glass or on plants or just wherever?
I have seen them mostly on plants.
Okay.
On plant leaves. I've heard that they will also deposit them on pieces of driftwood or on sponges of filters and so on, but that's, I've seen them on the plants.
Are they any specific color, or is it just kind of a generic light egg color?
It's sort of a pale, well, there's a translucent sort of jelly around it, as in most snail eggs, and it's sort of vaguely diamond shape or teardrop shape, and then the egg itself is a very light color, maybe an off-white.
Okay.
And they are supposed to, from what I understand, once they hatch, they sort of go down into the substrate and you don't see them for a while, and then by the time they emerge, they've grown a fair amount and they're a quarter inch long or so. And of course, I've only had them since late September, so I haven't seen any of the babies yet, but I expect to see some fairly soon.
How long does it take for them to grow up enough to come out of the substrate?
Not having done it yet, I'm not sure. I would imagine that has to do with food availability and temperature and so on, but that remains to be seen.
Is there an easy, reliable way to tell a male from a female if you're trying to get them in the store?
Not that I know of. I just think the best thing to do is probably just get a large number.
Just get a big group, and
yeah,
you should have some males and females in there.
Yeah, get at least 4 or 5, and you'll probably be okay.
Okay. Is there anything else we need to know?
Well, let's see. I would say, just to tell you a little bit about these snails, if you've never seen one yet, and we'll try to get some pictures up on the website, on the resources page, but they do look a little bit like a Malaysian trumpet snail. They are fairly interestingly striped in kind of browns, dark browns and light browns. A little bit like the color of a coulilote, almost. But they also have a pale body with kind of some little flecks on it. And a very long proboscis, just similar to that of a Malaysian trumpet snail, but it's a longer and thinner in proportion. And it's, of course, the body is much lighter in color. And I was interested in seeing, once I purchased them, how long it would take them to start hunting down the snails. And so I put them in an aquarium that had some snails in it, and added some snails to that aquarium. And within about half an hour to an hour, one of them had attacked a ramshorn snail that was larger than it was. And they were very efficient at eating the ramshorn snails. I continued to seed the aquarium. It was a 10-gallon aquarium that I put them in initially, these five snails. And they were finishing these ramshorn snails off. I could put 3 or 4 in every day or so, and they would be gone. And so I eventually removed them and put them in a 20-gallon aquarium that I was using to raise some Kerbensis fry in, which had quite a few ramshorn snails in it. And they began to clean those out, and they're working on that now. And I see fewer and fewer snails all the time, and I've even added some again. So they seem to be pretty effective at that. I haven't noticed them specifically attacking the pond snails, but I do seem to notice a decrease in number of pond snails when they've been with those as well. So apparently they're doing well with that. I don't actually have any Malaysian trumpet snails, so I don't know how it would work with that. I don't want to put them with any of my olive nerites for fear that we would have a problem there, but I don't know what that would do. They may not be able to hunt the nerites because of their operculum, which is pretty thick, a little door that they use to close their shell up. But they may, I don't know. But I would hesitate to put them with olive nerites for that reason.
Okay. Well, they're kind of fun to watch, so go check them out.
Yeah, it's really a nice way to control snails. Of course, the most important thing you should remember if you want to control population explosions of snails is to keep up with your water changes and not to overfeed. That will go a long way. But in certain situations, you may have a situation where you want to reduce snail populations. This is a good way to do it because, like we said, these snails don't breed very quickly, and they are very effective at helping to control the snail population in an interesting way. Have fun with them.
Thank you for listening. to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions, please email us at info@aquarimax.com.